Titans in Falls football. 104.5 The Zone. WGFX Gallatin Nashville. A Cumulus station. Trending now at 104.5 The Zone.
Good afternoon. I'm David Reed. Wild card weekend not so super for the Titans as they see their season come to an end with a 20-13 loss to Baltimore. Right now, head coach Mike Vrabel is meeting with members of the press to discuss the disappointing end to the season.
Structured in the difficult situations that came up. I appreciate what they did, their hard work and diligence to making sure the meetings were set up in the areas that we used. And then I'd like to thank the media for doing your job, to help promote our football team and be an avenue to our fans. Wish that we could have done this differently, but I appreciate you guys staying engaged through, our virtual settings, and I'm going to miss our chat rooms. So with that, Teresa, why don't you get started?
Absolutely, Mike. Achieved the AFC South title, certainly have some pieces in place with Ryan under contract, Derek under contract. How much is this team coming off a disappointing loss maybe poised to build and continue success as opposed to having been in rebuilding mode maybe when you first got here?
I mean, I don't think anybody ever looks at it like that. We're just going to try to stick together. I felt like we've stuck together through a lot of different situations that have come up throughout the, starting back at April, and then obviously stick together through the sting of this defeat. This day is a tough day for 31 teams that don't win a championship. But, we're going to look to try to build a new team in 2021. There's going to be some players that are the same, and there's going to be some that are different. They'll be coaches that look differently. The front office may look differently. That's just the nature of it. But, we have high expectations here every year.
Jim?
Mike, I guess what was your closing message to this year's team? And then as you try to project forward, I guess still some uncertainty heading into this offseason as far as an offseason program and OTAs, mini camp. What do you tell them when you don't know what's next?
Well, we're going to talk to them here in a little bit. I wanted to talk to you guys and then talk to the team as they come in and finish physicals and things like that. And just tell them that, I'm proud to coach them. I'm proud that they stuck together. And again, nobody's happy and with the result, but they all need some time away and then be mindful of the decisions that they make. With some time on their hands.
John Glenn.
Hey, Mike, I know you're all of one day into the off season, but as you look ahead, possibility of a defensive coordinator, something you're considering, defensive coordinator in name for next year. And if so, would that be someone more likely out of staff or on staff?
John, I think what we have to do is we have to evaluate, every position on our staff and as well as, on our roster. And so we'll do that and, we'll make those decisions that we feel like are in the best interest of the football team. And, that'll be one of them.
Terry?
Mike, in regards, obviously, with free agency and all, you got out of set priorities, how possibly different though with
Terry, why don't you take the question?
I'll do my best here to address Terry in a free agency. We're aware of our free agents and the ones that have contracts that are expiring. Free agency, like the same thing we said last year, it's a two-way street. The player has to want to be here, the team has to want him back, and then obviously the contract has to be good for both parties and they have to feel like they got something out of it. And, John and I will continue to discuss that and, we'll meet with those players and their representatives and see about getting something done.
Teron?
Yeah, staying with that theme, the offseason and addressing needs, how much of a need do you feel this team has for, you know, that guy that could really just dominate up front, you know, despite what you guys were able to do in the last couple of games as far as eight sacks are concerned?
You know, I just think that, you know, we'll have to identify, a lot of areas of focus and making sure that, we do a great job of bringing guys in here that love football, that are talented, that put the team first and, play with great effort and finish. But they got to love football. This is a grind. This league is a grind. And, so those are the types of players that we're looking for and obviously talented, Teron.
Joe?
Yeah, Mike, back on the defensive coordinator thing, you said during the season you didn't think that was having an impact on defensive struggles. You still feel that way after the season's over? Do you think there's any benefit to having someone who's, I guess, quote unquote, the head coach of that defense?
Yeah. I think that this thing kind of took a life of its own, Joe. And I guess that it was really important, but Shane led the meetings. Shane led the walkthroughs. Shane called the defense. And again, I think we get caught up too much in titles. And I guess I apologize because clearly didn't think it would take on a life of its own. And we'll coach better, we'll play better. But those are things that we have to do in all three phases. There were times that it looked like we put all three phases together, played really well. And then there were stints where we didn't do that. And we're gonna evaluate the roster and the coaching staff and the plays that we run and the scheme that we have and everything across the board, because we ultimately didn't win a championship.
David Beauclair.
Mike, at this point, can you shine some light on the whole process with Adoree Jackson and what from the moment he got hurt, what you thought you could get out of him this year and how much of how close did you get to getting what you hoped you could from him?
No, I mean, I don't really have much light. I mean, he wasn't available. And when he was available to practice, we practiced him. And when he wasn't, up for practice, he wouldn't be available for the game. And, when he was able to be available for the game, we played him and then we monitored how he felt and we went from there.
Paul?
Mike, you guys had a historically bad third down defense. Why couldn't you fix it?
I guess we had a couple guys free to make tackles on the quarterback yesterday and a couple guys scramble around. Then we got some third down stops and, I think there were times where it looked like it was representative of what we wanted to do from a playing standpoint and a schematic standpoint. And then, other times it was, shorter distance and that we probably didn't do a good enough job on second down. So I think we're all, we're all responsible. Again, it's going to be about the playing and the coaching when there's things that don't go well. And then when you see it look good and how it's designed to be executed and coached, it looks pretty good.
And what was it about Shane when you saw him worthy of doing all of those things that you listed that you found him unworthy then of the title?
All right. I make decisions a while ago. And as we worked our way through, the off season, it was just a decision I made, Paul. I make a lot of decisions and, it's a great honor to be in a position to make decisions for the team. And sometimes people agree with them and sometimes people don't, but we'll keep doing them with the best interest in the team in mind.
Gentry.
Yeah, Mike, when do you expect to have some clarity on Arthur's situation in terms of conversations with other teams? And if you did have to replace him, how important would continuity be given how well things went on that side of the ball?
when would I know when some, when an owner would want to hire Arthur? I would have no idea, Gentry.
And in terms of continuity, given how well things went, I mean, would that, that I guess that was kind of one of the goals in our, when naming Arthur, would you, you know, what are your thoughts on in terms of trying to continue what you've accomplished with the familiarity of the offense already?
Arthur's still our offensive coordinator, so when he no longer is, then we'll look to replace him.
Jared?
Yeah, Mike, I was wondering about special teams this year. You talked a lot, especially on the Coach's TV show, about wanting to do better in returns, you know, both kickoff and punt returns. When you look at some of the games this year, whether it's Pittsburgh or Indianapolis at home, but games that where special teams really let you down this year, what are your thoughts on that going into the offseason? And while a lot of moves are made, you know, at big spots, skill position spots, or offensive, defensive line, how important is special teams and the focus on improving that for next year?
Yeah, I mean, it's just huge importance. And I think that, you know, we had some guys that really developed. You know, I rarely sit here and try to point guys out, but I'm proud of the efforts that Nick Westbrook had, a wide receiver that was undrafted, that developed into a gunner, kickoff coverage guy that blocked his guy on kickoff return. So, you know, you're looking for a skill set, and then special teams is also really, it comes down to effort and finish and really just wanting to do it. And that's what special teams is. And, you know, we'll have to continue to evaluate that and find guys that, you know, fit that particular mold. You know, and then, you know, as you saw, you know, Darrington got some returns, and I think he'll become more comfortable with it, and, you know, he'll keep doing it. And, you know, it's just, I think it's the critical element and in phase, you know, I do. So it'll be evaluated just the same as, you know, the offense and defense is.
Steve Lehman.
Hey, Mike. Where does Isaiah Wilson stand with you guys right now in terms of coming back next year and what role you see for him? And then to further out with the rookies, not only was he not out there, but Darrington, Christian, Chris, all because of injuries, probably didn't get the number of reps you maybe envisioned or hoped at the start of the year. Where do you view this rookie class as a whole at this point and how they can help you moving forward?
You know, I can't comment on Isaiah. You know, I wouldn't even begin to be able to eloquently have an answer for you, Steve. I just think, you know, with those other guys, you know, the injuries, you know, did hurt. And I also think that the offseason, you know, I feel like we put our guys, our young players, in a great position in the offseason. You know, we try to structure their day in May and June the same way that we would in September and October, so that they're coming in early. You know, they're building a routine, a functioning routine of coming in early, working out, getting treatment, having breakfast, going to a meeting at the same time that we would start our team meeting and the season, you know, going to position meetings, going out on the field at, in some capacity, having lunch, and then going back in for meetings afterwards. And I think that builds a positive routine for these guys, and for them not to have that, I think, you know, probably, you know, hurts. And then the injuries, you know, certainly set some of those players back.
Luke.
Mike, what qualities do you think Arthur has that are interesting these other teams, and what do you think he would bring to a team potentially as a head coach?
I think Arthur do a great job. I got a lot of respect for Arthur. You know, Arthur's always done the best job in the job that he's had. You know, he hasn't worked the telephones and, you know, tried to undercut anybody. He's always come to work, and you know, I have a lot of trust in Arthur as a person, first and foremost. So, you know, I know he'd do a fantastic job leading anybody's team.
He was one of the maybe the only holdover from the previous staff when you got here. What was it that made you want to keep him around initially?
I think all those things that I mentioned, and I think all those things that I just talked about. He was a tight ends coach. You know, he's been on different sides of the football. Just liked what he had done with that position group and how they responded and how he prepared some of those players to do their job.
Chris Harris.
Hey, Mike, as you kind of self-evaluate, how do you think that you led this team through all the unforeseen adversity of the season, the likes of which no one's ever experienced?
I don't think that that's something that is really my decision. You know, I try to do what's best for the players, for their families, for the coaches, for this organization. You know, sometimes it's the right decisions and the right schedule, but sometimes it's not. And, you know, just try to instill an attitude within our team about winning, about what it takes to win, and try to prepare them each and every week. And sometimes it's good enough and sometimes it's not. So I'd also like to thank our fans too. You know, I know that I thank some people, and it was cool to see those fans out there for a playoff game. I thought they were into it. I can't wait till we can get everybody back in our stadium, get them back for practice. You know, how important that is, you know, to a community. We want to have a winning product. We want to have a team that they can be proud of. You know, the way they play, with great effort and physical, and play together as a team.
Adam Sparks.
Yeah, Mike, if your defense plays well next season, what would you hope the identity of that defense would be?
Be fast. You want to be, you know, be good tacklers, be sound, be great communicators. I think you have to be smart nowadays. You have to be extremely smart, have great awareness. You know, defense is a lot about instincts. You know, and so many teams are, you know, play man coverage, they're going to try to pick you. And if you play zone, they're going to try to spread you out. And, you know, and just the scheme each week changes. You're getting ready for a different opponent. So I think that you have to have this, some sort of instincts to you and an awareness. But you know, great defenses usually are really good tacklers, you know.
Buck.
Mike, just going back to a couple questions ago about you saying you need to identify players who love football, who love to play football. I know you can only do what you can with the situation that was presented this year with COVID having an effect on free agency and draft evaluations and things like that. Do you think it was made substantially harder to identify guys like that because of what the pandemic kind of did to the process?
I mean, we were all working under the same rules, Buck. So, you know, I don't know. I know that it made it difficult to do a lot of things, or it made it different. And so, you know, that was the challenge that was presented to us. And if that's how we have to operate, then we'll need to continue to improve. And we always want to improve our evaluation process and find guys that are going to come in and fit what we do.
Got time for these last four, Teron.
Coach, in regards to Corey Davis and, you know, how the game ended, can you shed any light on what happened there? A lot of criticism from the fans, you know, about him not finishing. How can you respond to them in regards to
that? Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, if Corey, you know, we don't talk about injuries, but, you know, I mean, clearly if Corey was able to finish that football game, you know, he would have, and he would have tried to done everything that he could have done to help us win. It just, that wasn't going to be a possibility at that time.
John Glenn.
Yeah, Mike, in regards to Adam Humphries, obviously didn't see him much with the concussion situation. Has he made some strides and kind of what is his status, you know, heading into the off season?
He finished the year on injury reserve. So I would tell you that he wasn't cleared to play in the football game.
Did he make improvement, during that time that he was out that we didn't see him?
Wasn't cleared to play in the game, John. He's still in concussion protocol.
Paul?
Mike, I know you're not one to second guess, but it seems like if you ever took an opportunity, the fourth and two punt from the 40 might be one. You spend any time last night pondering? You're very aggressive, and that doesn't fit your coaching MO.
You try to get a feel for the game and see how things are going. And, we've made decisions that have worked out. And, that was the one we went with. And again, second guess. Yeah, we always second guess everything that we do that doesn't work out. We lost the game. So that's our charge, is to find out why. And question everything that we do when we don't win. And that's no different than any other situation. I just felt like felt like we'd get a stop, felt like we'd get the ball back and score. And, they hit a couple plays. We held them to a field goal and had an opportunity there at the end. Just went with that, made a decision and went with it and tried to be as decisive as we could, but we lost the game. So that there's a lot of those decisions that come up throughout the game.
Last one, Steve Lehman.
Mike, there will be decisions upcoming on both Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith in free agency from you guys. They both had overall good years, in particularly great starts to the season, but the production trailed off somewhat, certainly towards the end of the year. Is there any reason for that you know standing here today of why that may have happened?
No, I mean, I don't think that there's anything, specific. I think that's just sometimes that's how the season goes. Could use Harold Landry as an example. I mean, Harold played a fantastic game yesterday, very active. The consistency is something that we all strive for. I think that in our personal life and our professional life is being consistent to whoever, we're working with or for. And so my consistency and how I approach the team is critical, and their performance, players' performance is hopefully to be consistent so that what you can count on and what you can rely on, week in and week out.
As Titans head coach Mike Vrabel with his recap of the 2020 season after yesterday's playoff loss to Baltimore. Coming up, more reaction from Titans players. Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Congratulations to Al Wilson, headed to the College Football Hall of Fame.
An all-time great, probably my all-time favorite Tennessee Vol football player. Jackson Central Mary High School, Jackson, Tennessee.
Tonight, the national championship at my favorite stadium, Hard Rock Stadium in Miami.
Go Buckeyes!
Buckeyes and Crimson Tide tonight. Under the lights for the national title. Paul, your three biggest takeaways from the media availability with head coach Mike Vrabel.
He just won't say they need a pass rusher. We have to identify a lot of areas. He won't say the word sack, and he won't say that they need a pass rusher. And I just don't understand this reluctance. He gave Shane Bowen all this power. He wants to make it clear in the defensive coordinator conversation that Shane Bowen was doing all the things of the defensive coordinator, except he didn't realize it was going to be a big deal that he didn't have the title. So I said, well, if he was worthy of all of these responsibilities as a defensive coordinator, why wasn't he worthy of the title of defensive coordinator?
It's a great question.
I don't know if he was stumped by that, but the answer didn't tell me.
It's a great question, and it's not the first time we've asked that question.
He also said, the inability to build a positive routine for rookies early probably sent some of them back, to which I say, I saw rookies all over the NFL with impact. Did you see Justin Jefferson? There was a guy
who had
impact. I saw a lot of rookies that were drafted after Isaiah Wilson make impact in the NFL. I didn't see any of them in Tennessee. And I don't think it was a not having a routine in May and June that was the problem. A lot of non-answers, a lot of BS, I thought.
I mean, just look at the top picks in the draft. Look at Chase Young, Tristan Wirfs starting for their respective teams. We know what Herbert and Joe Burrow were capable of. They come up with high expectations. James Robinson in Jacksonville.
Undrafted
rookie.
DC thing took on a life.
Justin Jefferson. CD Lamb. Jeremy Chinn in Carolina. Should we keep going on rookies who made an impact for their teams? Patrick Queen in Baltimore.
Defensive corner, he said, took on a life of its own, as if he was surprised by this. I mean, it sounds like a guy who just expected the defense to be good.
Well, you had a great question, Paul.
They allowed it. They allowed it to take on a life.
You had the question of the session when you asked, if you're worthy of all this responsibility and doing everything with the defense, why is he not worthy of the title defensive coordinator?
But see, that to me is the least of their issues. Their issues are the defensive production.
And I asked him about that.
That must be fixed.
I said, you had the worst third down in defense. Historically bad third down defense. Why weren't you able to fix it? And he gave the same answer he gave all year. Well, we didn't make a play here. We didn't make this kind of play. We didn't make that kind of play. It sounded like bits and pieces. It didn't sound like a historically bad third down defense.
Phone lines are open. Took some great calls today reacting to the Titans' loss, season-ending loss to the Ravens yesterday. You can jump in right now at 615-737-1045. 737-1045.
Also, Paul, I realize that he doesn't talk about injuries, but they give injury designations for players who leave NFL games.
Well, they didn't yesterday, which is a violation of the rule.
That's my point. If they don't talk about injuries, but he's hurt, then you didn't give an injury designation yesterday.
Well, he did say Corey Davis would have finished that game if he could, if he was hurt.
Well, then why,
can't they say that yesterday during the game, which is required by the rules? I don't know. They broke the rules yesterday.
Well, if they don't give a designation, aren't they then?
He's just standing on the sideline without his helmet on.
They broke the rules yesterday. They weren't pressed to give an answer, and they didn't give an answer. That's breaking the rule.
Well, they may have not broken the rules, though. Lying in a press conference the day after isn't breaking the rules. If he's not hurt, he's not hurt.
I don't see any reason why
they only broke the rules if he was hurt.
Why would they not play Corey Davis if he wasn't hurt? Why would they want Khalif Raymond on the field ahead of Corey Davis?
I heard post game it was a hip injury. I don't know. I mean, that was nothing official. He doesn't talk about injuries, but they give injury designations when player leaves when they leave the game. Is he questionable? Is he probable? Is he out?
They give body part.
It's one of the three.
They give body part also.
It's not. We don't know.
Agreed.
Jonathan Taylor, also a rookie who's, you know, didn't have much of an offseason. Darnell Mooney in Chicago.
There's plenty. I mean, we could go read the
draft. Yeah, this draft class was not good. Part of it due to injury. Another part due to a player they don't even want to speak the name of.
It's also easier for Mike Vrabel to use the excuse of a lack of an offseason than to say what maybe he really wants to say, and that is, my general manager just whiffed this one year. And that's been a problem.
Well, so did his defensive coaching.
Yeah. Correct.
Well, he couldn't say that last year either about kicker. I was given kickers over and over that couldn't
hit
picks.
It's also, why not just say, you asked the question about the punt, Paul. There's nothing wrong with saying, yeah, you know, had I known they were going to drive and go kick a field goal, I would have gone for it. You can always look back the day after and say, yeah, that I would do it differently today.
He did allow for more second-guessing of himself than I remember him allowing for on virtually anything.
But I don't know why it's a problem just to say, yeah, the day after I look at every decision I made and you could go back and see the result of them and say, I would change this, 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 and this.
He did kind of say that, which I was surprised. I said, you're not a big second guesser, but this seems like a real opportunity. And he said, yeah, after the game, we go back and look at everything that didn't work in second guessing.
But still didn't say that he regretted the decision.
No.
I just don't think it's that hard to say, I would do something different.
That's a bridge too far.
Also, would not endorse Arthur Smith.
Well,
would only say, well, he hasn't been hired anywhere yet, so.
Yeah, what he wants to do is not.
Ryan Tannehill certainly would.
What he wants to do is not make it like once Arthur Smith leaves that it's a giant loss that's going to be hard to fill, like it was with Dean Pease, which he failed at. I suppose.
I think it's going to be a giant loss.
Yeah. Well, that call.
I'm not saying that they can't hire someone that could be good
really good in that role, but it's a giant loss.
Well, look, they wanted continuity when they kept him, and they're not going to have.
I mean, they want to keep him. That's why he's not saying anything. They want to keep him.
Of course.
Well, that caller.
Except for that one
today.
Caller who wanted him out. Yeah, everyone else wants him back.
GTFO. Get out of here.
On the list of most overrated Titans, I'm putting Arthur Smith at the top of the list.
Right at the top of the list.
That's what a caller said, not us.
Yes.
How dare you, Jack?
You should have tuned in earlier.
Someone's going to clip that and say that was me saying.
If you missed that earlier, I don't know what you were listening to or why you were working or any of those things, but please, please, tomorrow do not make the same mistake and tune in for the entire program.
We start at 9 a.m.
And we end at 1 or slightly before 1.
Technically about 12:54.
I'll call it 1 just for rounding.
Whatever reason,
rounding
the music,
purposes.
Honestly. Let's rounding go to the purposes. Phones. What's up, Dave?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
You're
yep.
very welcome.
You know, I hate to be a bugaboo or anything, but man, the Titans won the division this year without a defense. You know, but you know, made a couple of bad choices on offensive linemen, made a couple of bad choices on a couple of defensive ends. You know, that didn't even finish the season. But man, I'm proud of them, and I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah,
thank
proud,
you,
guys.
Paul, up.
So proud.
I mean, Chase Claypool is a rookie who had a pretty good year.
I mean, Titans.
T. Higgins.
Titans are
yeah,
in the
he
Super
performed
Bowl.
Well.
Yeah, if they just didn't make a couple bad decisions, the Lombardi Trophy's in their pocket.
It is pretty remarkable that the Titans were able to win a division while completely neglecting one side of the ball.
We said that.
Yeah.
We said that last week, and we'll say it again next week. Today, that's not the story. Today is not the story to wave the flag and say, my God, the Titans won the division despite their huge division.
It's completely fair to look at the successes that they had throughout the season and then think today, man, what they missed out on and how they have wasted the offense we will be comparing every offense to.
The best offense since 1961.
How can you not look past that?
No, man.
If you're in it to win, how can you not look past that?
Just a couple misses. Just remember the memories. Listen, look back. Remember when Derek had that run that got him over $2,000?
It's what?
Think back to that, huh? I mean, doesn't that make you warm?
I mean, it's a great story. It's
well,
a huge success. It's a huge success.
That's better than a championship.
We say CJ2K for a team that wasn't that good, too.
That's better than a playoff win.
This team could have done a lot more.
A lot of this market thinks that's better than
it's
a playoff
win. It's the missed opportunity.
I don't think they think it's better than a playoff win.
I think some people do.
I think they're quick to just look back on the successes and look to next year, and I'm thinking what could have happened this year and what was missed out on.
Remember that time they beat the hell out of Detroit, Hutt?
What a day. Christmas time. Christmas was still
remember
there.
When they didn't practice at all and they just
16 days in a walk
mopped the floor with Buffalo?
16 days in a walkthrough.
Remember when they... Oh, the memories.
Everybody wanted them shut down, but they fought back from COVID.
Us against the world.
Remember when Isaiah Wilson was making it rain on a yacht and they went down to Houston and won anyway?
But he looks felt.
Remember those?
Like he really lost some of that excess weight.
Remember those three kneel down plays that Isaiah Wilson played? Remember?
Remember he got in the game because they were winning. He was mauled on a
memory.
He could have got in a series earlier, but I think they threw a pick six. And it made the game a little closer. Remember? Come on. Guys, you guys are not remembering all.
I'm sorry
the
for being honest, but I think about the opportunity
there's no need
miss.
To apologize.
Opportunity
right
miss.
Now, there are people listening in Metro Center who are pissed that we dare talk about the negatives of that loss right now and not shine it up. Not talk about the I Believe in Tennessee mural that they painted yesterday and the flyover and the pageantry and the great season they had.
Oh, that was great. It's all great. It's all.
That should be our focus.
It's all in the
all
past.
All great. It's all
that should
fun.
Be our focus.
It's all good.
Everything's great.
Ryan, Russ, and Bubba, your phone call's coming up.
Bubba! Finally, we get a call from a Bubba.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. The worst offensive outputs of the season, Chicago, was a win. 8 punts in that game. Yesterday featured 5 punts. And this is an offense that only punted in the regular season 50 times. That's it. That's 6th best in the league. Green Bay, Pittsburgh, and Indy. those three losses, the worst offensive outputs against those defenses. And then, of course, yesterday against Baltimore.
A lot of Kern. A little bit of Gostkowski.
A lot of run blitzes. As Coach Mack would say, they flogged the gaps on first and second down. That was all she wrote.
Shorten the edges, Dennis Kelly is one way that he put it that helped me get a handle on it, too. Look, not everybody's equipped to do what Baltimore did. You're always careful when you say, oh, they gave the blueprint, right? You know, not everybody can do what Baltimore did. But if you have anything close to Baltimore's personnel, that's the way to play the Titans.
To the phones, Bubba, what's up?
Guys, I heard Paul say it earlier, and everybody's a little bit afraid of saying what they need to say, but I'm going to tell you this. Those Titans were worthless yesterday. Worthless. And I'm going to tell you this. They're about to mess everything up because now they finally built an offense that can do what they need to, although they didn't show up yesterday. But Arthur Smith ain't going nowhere. You got an Isaiah Wilson that just needs to – I mean, Washington had a quarterback throwing $1 bills at girls, and they fired him. Get rid of him. Cut the fat. It's time to go.
I agree with you on that.
And stop. Please stop signing your friends. We've seen how that has worked with our defensive ends. We've seen how that has worked with our kicker. We have seen. No. Step up. Hire somebody to do your job for you as far as defense. You can't call it. We saw that in Texas. You're a great head coach. Do something about it. Because guess what? You're about to lose out. Because I don't think the offense is going to lose any steps coming into next year. But you don't fix it. Henry and Tannehill taking all those hits year after year. No, you're going to lose the offense that you built that we've been wishing to see.
Tannehill didn't take that many hits this year. The pass protection was good.
Towards the back end of the season, you took a lot of hits. Go watch Detroit. Go watch Green Bay. But go watch yesterday.
It wasn't anything like last year.
Let me get to this, this confidence that people have in this team, though, moving forward, and where I think that's a little bit unfounded. The waste of a draft pick in Isaiah Wilson will come back to bite them even more in the future.
Absolutely.
Complete waste of a first-round pick. Only going to hurt them. Everybody keeps talking about the division. Well, it's still fine. The division, Jacksonville's Jacksonville. Jacksonville's about to have Trevor Lawrence, which could be a generational talent.
And Urban Meyer.
That is their Andrew Luck and Urban Meyer, possibly. That's going to be a revitalized organization. And for all the talk about the dysfunction with the Texans, you beat the Texans at home in overtime and 41-38 on the road. Last I checked, Deshaun Watson is still their quarterback.
He does what he wants.
That team's not going anywhere. Just because they had a bad year and they look foolish with some of the front office decisions doesn't mean the Texans, who are about to hire a new coach, aren't going to be really good. And the Colts have shown, doesn't matter who their quarterback is.
Split with the Colts.
The Colts have a roster set up to have success with a plug-and-play quarterback, whoever the quarterback is for the Colts.
And they went to the playoffs and split with you.
Here's the mantra of the offseason for me. And it's not just pass rush.
That's
it is,
my mantra.
Here it is. This is how, to me, I approach the offseason. Every team's going to be dealing with a lower salary cap, and they're going to have to maneuver rosters. The question for me that I would ponder is, I have the quarterback in a team-friendly structure who is excellent at what we do. I have the best running back in the National Football League in his prime. And I have A.J. Brown, who tweets out after the game, save this tweet, I'm going to be the best receiver in the NFL. He's going into his prime. You have a trio of players in their prime. Go win a Super Bowl and a championship with that. How do you do that? You build around them, and you do that by helping them defensively. These guys are going to put up points. I'm not worried about the guys. They can build around that trio, and you're getting Lawan back.
Without huge money.
Your offensive line can stay intact. You know, you can add some wrinkles and some consistency as a second and third wideout and a tight end. And build around that trio. That's a luxury a lot of teams in the league don't have. But that defense, you can have the best trio in football and have that defense and not win and not capitalize on that group in their prime. That is the mandate, defense, because it was at an all-time bad level.
Very well said,
Homer. After being a defense you could lean on 12 months ago.
in a deep playoff run. Didn't happen this year.
That's it for the show. Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
Don't block the box. Do lock the locks.